the dua is not limited to place or time. Even if the person doesn't have tahara, even if the person is junub, even the person flying, laying down in the bed, at any time a person can call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next hadith, which in page 541, hadith number 1343, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء بين الأذان والإقامة لا يرد. الدعاء بين الأذان والإقامة لا يرد. This hadith which reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Ibn Hibban and An-Nasa'i. The hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying what the meaning is, that dua, supplication, between the adhan and the iqama is acceptable, is not going to be rejected. Okay, so from this hadith it shows us the importance of the dua. Secondly, that we should choose the time and the places that can be more to make the dua acceptable. You see, and this one of the occasions, one of the times between the adhan, any adhan, and between the adhan and the iqama, is a good time for the person to call in Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, like we said, the dua have conditions. And somebody says, so I did many dua before, but maybe because he did not take the proper preparation for it, okay? And can be one of them as examples, that the person is not paying attention. Some people, they be making dua and scratching their beard and fixing their suit and say, oh Allah, and look at this and everybody. And he extending his hand like this before him, making dua, but actually his eyes here and his head here, and you see, he's not really concentrating about what he's doing. So his heart someplace else and his tongue is only going in the emotion and the words of, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah, Allah, Allah maghfir li walidayya, and see, and keep looking all over. You could not be doing this. This is not respect. When you come to approach somebody, even a human being, and you want him something, you understand? You could not be talking to him and you're talking to somebody else, looking to somebody else. You see? So we have to learn the proper approach, how to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see? So we have the right time, having our attention, and concentrate about your dua, all the things that is very important that you have to do it. And between the adhan and the iqama, this is one of the times that is supposed to be calling in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the person always call in Allah, because Allah is the only one can help him and assist him. Now see, in the next hadith, hadith 1344, which is reported by Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna rabbakum kareemun yastahi min abdihi iza rafa'a ilayhi yaday an yaruddahuma sifra. Akhrajul arba'a.
I interrupt you,
excuse me. You can talk to the security guy outside. This hadith, which in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and reported by Umar radiallahu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, Almighty Allah, the most gracious, the most generous, is shy to turn away the hands of his slave with nothing, okay, when he raised them for dua. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna rabbakum kareem, kareem, you see, he's generous. As a result of being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-kareem, the most generous one, so now when you extend your hand before your face, begging Allah, now out of Allah's generosity, he will feel shy to let you go with nothing. You see, you will get something. You may get the dua, you may get the reward, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe protect you from some evil that's supposed to fall in you as a result of this dua. So don't ever think that, oh, I've been making dua and I never get the answer. Does not have to be exactly what you ask come back to you. You see, because also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows what's good for you, what's not good for you. He may give you what you ask him, and after this, destruction in it for you, because this what you think that this is what's good for me. You see, wallahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun, that perhaps you may love something and there is a evil in it, and you may hate something and there is something good in it. You see, so you beg Allah, and when you lift your hands, and this from the adab and the discipline of dua, that you lift your hand begging Allah, showing your lowness and your need to Allah. So when you stretch your hand before your face begging Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's generous, he will feel shy to let you put your hands down and you got nothing. You will get something. Subhanallah. Next hadith, which 1345. The hadith, I have a question mark about it, concerning being hasal lighayri. I don't know if Brother Ghassan in the house. Ghassan, if you are in the masjid, please. I just finished looking in a small booklet 2 nights ago, and actually the conclusion of the person that any hadith, there is no authentic hadith to say that the person should wipe his face after making the dua. But this hadith, it seemed to be Hassan, but Hassan Lighayri. But I will leave it temporary now until maybe we can make further investigation about it. But hadith 1346, reported by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna awla nasi bi yawm al-qiyama aktharuhum alayya salatan. Akhrajah al-Tirmidhi, and the hadith is authentic. Those who are nearest to me on the day of resurrection are those who invoke many blessings on me. So if you looking for closeness in position to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the day of judgment, say more salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, in any form that you know. Okay? So Rasulullah sallam saying that in the awla nas bi, the one who deserve me more in the day of judgment and will be more closer to me in the day of judgment are those who invoke more blessings and salah on me in this dunya. Okay, so if we want the closeness to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the day of judgment, and we want to be with the one who claim him and will be close to him, so this will be what? As a result of uttering a lot of salah on him sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our dunya. وعن شداد ابن أوس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سيد الاستغفار ان تقول سيد الاستغفار ان يقول العبد اللهم انت ربي لا اله الا انت خلقتني وانا عبدك وانا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت اعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت ابوء لك بنعمتك علي وابوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فانه لا يغفر الذنوب الا انت. This hadith should be memorized by every person. This is the best form of seeking Allah's forgiveness called Sayyidul Istighfar. Sayyid means the head, the chief of the tribe, okay? The, like you say, he's the chief of everybody. So the chief of the forms or the phrases of seeking Allah's forgiveness is this one. To say what? Allahumma anta rabbi, O Allah, you are my Lord. There is no deity worthy of worship except thee. You had created me and I am your slave. I am concerning your covenant and your promise to the best that I can do. I seek refuge in thee from the evil that I had committed. I acknowledge your favor, your blessings upon me, and I acknowledge and I admit my sins, so forgive me. Indeed, no one able to forgive the sins except thee. It's so beautiful, okay? For the person to show, humble himself before Allah, acknowledging Allah, acknowledging Allah's favor upon him, acknowledging his faults and his mistakes, and after this say, oh Allah, please forgive me, because there is no one else can forgive my sin except you. Inshallah, if there is time left in the end of the tape, I will say it slowly and many times, so we can memorize it inshallah. The hadith reported by Shaddad ibn Aus, hadith 1347, the one that Sayyid al-Istighfar we just mentioned, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, so the hadith is authentic. Next hadith, hadith 1348, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدع هؤلاء الكلمات حين يمسي وحين يصبح اللهم إني أسألك العافية في ديني ودنياي وأهلي ومالي اللهم استر عوراتي آمن روعاتي وآمن روعاتي واحفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغتال من تحتي. حديث in the collection of الإمام ابن ماجة and النسائي and الحاكم. The hadith is authentic, reported from son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam most of the times he used to supplicate Allah in the evening and in the morning with these words. Very, very beautiful meanings. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-afiyah. Okay? Al-afiyah. The closer English translation, I see it here, security. In his religion and in his dunya. And you see, he start with the deen first. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected and protect your deen, this dunya is no big thing, it comes and goes. But don't scratch your deen for the sake of your dunya. This is the most important thing. Keep the relationship between you and Allah straight. Okay, so harm your dunya for the sake of your deen, but don't harm your deen, okay, for the sake of your dunya. or you be in trouble. So you say, oh Allah, I want you to give me al-afiyah as a protection in my deen as well as my dunya. Also in my people, my family, and my property. Oh Allah, ustur awrati, cover my faults. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself saying this, what about me and you? Huh? Oh Allah, cover my faults. Huh? It's so beautiful. And even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet of Allah, but it shows you how you're supposed to humble yourself before Allah. Oh Allah, please cover my faults. Amin rawati. Oh Allah, save me from things which I fear. Oh Allah, protect me from in front of me, behind me, on my right, on my left, and I seek refuge in your greatness from receiving unexpected harm from below me. Okay? Shayateen, from the devils to attack you. Okay? So he's seeking refuge, protection in Allah in all things that it may disturb him or bring fear to him, regardless this comes from the right or from the left or from the front or from the back. Oh Allah, protect me from all these directions, and especially that I be attacked from below me, the jinn. Why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say anything about above me? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above you. You see? So the shayateen can come, try to get you from anywhere, right, left, front, you, back of you, or under you. Ins, mankind, and jinn. But not from above you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above us, above the seven heaven, above everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Oh Allah, give me safety in my religion, in my dunya, in my family, in my property. Oh Allah, cover my faults. Oh Allah, remove away from things which disturb me or frighten me. Oh Allah, protect me from in front of me, behind me, on my right, on my left. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in your greatness that I may be harmed unexpectedly from beneath me. Hadith is authentic. Hadith 1349. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجأة نقمتك وجميع سخطك أخرجه مسلم. سبحان ها وفجأة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the decline of your favor. Okay? Because there's no guarantee. It can disappear. Children, property, possessions, health. Okay? So, it's very, very good, you understand, to know these meanings and beg Allah. Because only Allah is the only one can guarantee these favors. You don't have insurance in your eyes, you don't have insurance in your heart, you don't have insurance in your legs, you don't have insurance in anything of this, as well as the other things that are outside of your body. If the things that in your body you don't have insurance on it, what about the other things, the car, the house, this and that? He say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in thee, that these blessings and this favor that you bestow on me, that will decline, will disappear, will go away. Don't believe these people giving you insurance for this and that. They could not. They may give you another car, but what about if you lose one of your eye, may Allah forbid. What they can do for you? Give you $100,000. What you going to do with $100,000? Your eye more than $100,000, but you don't know this. Because you've taken advantage of this ni'mah, you are not aware about it. What's he going to give you when you lose one of your arms? Give you $50,000? So what you going to do with it? You see, we are millionaires, billionaires, although even if we have nothing, but we are not aware about it. If you examine the goodness that Allah bestowed in you, having body, having two legs, walking in it, have the eyes, you can see and all these things, you will find yourself, you are a billionaire, but you don't know. When you know it, when you start to lose it. You see? May Allah protect us all and protect His blessings on us and all the Muslims. And I seek refuge in thee from that afiyah. Your health, the health that you give me, will turn away, take a turn, and leave me and go to somebody else, okay? And the surprising of your punishment. Huh? Serious. Will something surprise you? وَجَمِيعِ سَخَطِكَ. And I seek refuge in thee from all things which displease in you. And we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so, to protect us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the Muslims. Inshallah, we stop here, we continue tomorrow if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us extension in our life. And tomorrow inshallah hopefully will be the last chapter for our book Bulugh al-Maram, and by Allah's will, and leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to reach that far in the book, and inshallah continue tomorrow. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessing on His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to continuation and final class of Bulugh al-Maram, Explanation and Authentication by Al-Faqir ila Afwi Rabbi Tabarak wa Ta'ala Muhammad Sayyid Adli. And inshallah today we continue Explanation and Authentication to Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz Al-Hajar, Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. And today inshallah we have hadith number 1350, page number 543. And before I start, I would like to take you back to yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. We mentioned about hadith 1345, and as I told you, I was not sure about it, although that it say Hassan in this, but the hadith 1345 concerning the Prophet Muhammad used to wipe his face with his hands after making dua. This hadith is not authentic. I went back again and I asked Brother Ghassan also, and I made some research about it. Approximately about 7 hadith related to this subject, but none of them is authentic hadith. So we don't have any authentic information that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wipe his face with his hands after he makes dua. Okay, like people making dua and after just doing this. This is not in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only hadith that I know about it, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wipe all his body, face, head, arms, leg, everything. This when you go to sleep and you put your two hands and you recite the quls, the three quls, okay, and you blow and you wipe everything, okay. This is one authentic. Other than this, we don't know anything about wiping.
Why you say three quls?
قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. This is a short term to say three quls.
Not
Maybe this is saying it's separate, but he used to put his two hands together and recite Ikhlas Falak al-Nas, and he used to blow like this in his hand and wipe all his body. Okay? So the hadith which reported by Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ghalabati ad-dayn wa ghalabati al-adu wa shamatati al-a'da. There's a Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith which is reported by Abdullah ibn Amr, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Nisa'i and al-Hakim, the hadith is authentic. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge on Almighty Allah being heavily in debt, from being overpowered by enemies, and the bloating of the enemies. Okay, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah to protect him against ghalabat al-dayn, the overpowering of the debt. Borrow money, and after this you found yourself in miserable situation. Now you start lying, you start to break your promise, you stop, you understand, meeting the people, dig from the people, all these things, okay? Because you've been overpowered by debt. And a Muslim, as long as no necessity in his life, he shouldn't borrow money. As long as no necessity in your life, be content, be happy with the little bit that Allah give you. If it's not a matter of emergency, life and death, don't get yourself into debt, regardless if this involved usury or not involved usury. Okay? Debt, period. Stay away from it. Okay? The second thing, the overpowered by the enemy. Okay? Because if you overpowered by the enemy, now you don't have any more dignity, you could not do what you want to do, you could not establish your deen, you could not even protect your own family, because now you've been enslaved by the enemies of Allah. And the third thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek Allah's protection and refuge against the shamata of al-a'da. After overpowering you, or if they could not overpower you, now they happy because something happened to you. Calamity, disease, sickness, somebody else did something to you, now they happy. Okay? Yeah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against all these things. Hadith 1351 عن بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا يقول اللهم إني أسألك بأني أشهد أنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد فقال لقد سأل الله باسمه باسمه الذي اذا سئل به اعطى واذا دعي به اجاب. This hadith which reported by Buraidah, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nisa' al-Kubra and Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban. The hadith is authentic that he related to us, Buraidah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard the Imam calling in Allah, begging Allah, making dua. And while he was making dua, he's saying, O Allah, I beg you, due to the fact that I bear witness that there is no deity except thee. You are the Samad. You are the one everything beseech. That everything comes in need for you. And I beg you, believing that you have no son, no father, and no equal to you. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed this man had asked Allah with the name which if Allah been asked with it, he will give, and if he been supplicate with it, he will be guaranteed the supplication. Does this mean this form of supplication, asking Allah by this name, it grants your dua? Why? Because the Tawheed is the most important elements of Islam. And this man had called in Allah with his beautiful names. And he chose one of the most important of all of them, that Allah being the only one worthy of worship, the one who has no son, no daughter, no equal, no father, no any family relationship. So he had confirmed the oneness of Allah. Okay? So as a result of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this man had called in Allah with the name that when somebody call in Allah with this name, Allah will answer. You see? So this teaches us that when we have something that we need badly from Allah, we call in Allah with this name and say, O Allah, that I beg you and I ask you, due to the fact that I testify to you in oneness, I testify and I make shahada that you are the only deity of worship, that la ilaha illa ant, you are the Samad, you are the one who has no son, no father, no equal. Okay? And this is from the adab of the dua. Next hadith, hadith 1352, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أصبح يقول اللهم بك أصبحنا وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور وإذا أمسى قال مثل ذلك إلا إنه يقول وإليك المصير. Hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood al-Tirmidhi and in Ibn Majah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to supplicate frequently when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in the morning, O Allah, by you morning had come to us, and by you evening had came to us, and by thy will we live, and by your permission we shall die, and you is our return. You see, how the beautiful names uttered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not the morning come, now I put my suit on, my tie, and wash my face and run to the job. praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah. Remember the one who had gave you this morning that you can see. Give you the ability that you can move out of your bed. You see? Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, Oh Allah, by you we come to the morning, by your will. If Allah didn't will, you be dead. If Allah was not willing for this, you be sick, you could not move. You see? If Allah will, He will make the evening forever. So you remember Allah's ability and Allah's blessings in you, and you remind yourself about it. Oh Allah, is only by your mission and your will the morning had come to us. And also the evening will come to us by your permission and your will. And by your will we can be alive, and by thy will we will die, and to you is our return. Reminding yourself again. So that means when you step outside the house, now you already give yourself this lesson that to Allah is our return. So we have to focus and be conscious about everything that we're doing. We'll be careful about doing the haram, because we shall return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith 1353. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان أكثر دعاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. متفق عليه. From Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to invoke Allah a lot by saying, Oh Allah, grantee us a good in this life and good in the hereafter. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic. This shows you again how the Muslims target in this life as well as the hereafter. Islam bless us to get the good of this life as well as the good of the hereafter. But by belief, by faith. But if you don't have faith, you may get this life, you may get some of this life, but nothing for you in the hereafter. Okay? Except the hellfire wal-iyadu billah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana. And what else? Waqina azab an-nar. So the completion of the success, that you be saved from hellfire. Otherwise, all this money, all this houses, all this, nothing. If you are not saved from hellfire, you will be in a miserable condition and no success. So we say, Oh Allah, give us the good of this life, the good of the hereafter, and save us from the torment of the hellfire. Hadith 1354. وعن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو اللهم اغفر لي خطيئتي وجهلي وإسرافي في أمري وما أنت أعلم به مني اللهم اغفر لي جدي وهزلي وخطئي وعمدي وكل ذلك عندي اللهم اغفر لما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أنت أعلم به مني أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. سبحان الله. Beautiful words. See how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم always praising Allah, always glorifying Allah. And see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his main concern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, to teach us how we supposed to get closer to Allah. The more you stay away from the haram, the more you get closer to Allah. The more that you get indulge in haram and sin, the more that you are distant from Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam want to be loved by Allah, want to be closer to Allah. How? By staying away from the haram. And due to the fact being a human being, you have your weakness, your mistakes, so always call in Allah, ask Allah to cleanse you and to purify you and to forgive your sins. Oh Allah, forgive my ignorance. Oh Allah, forgive my sins, the ones that I made by mistakes or by ignorance. And you aware, okay, you see, you will aware about my mistakes and my sin more than me. Because sometimes we're making sin, we are not even aware that we're making the sin. You see? So again, say, oh Allah, forgive all kind of sins that I'm, and the one that you will aware about it more than even me. Okay? Oh Allah, forgive me my seriousness and my seriousness and my jokes and what I attend and what I didn't attend, and all these things is on me. Oh Allah, forgive me for what I have extended in the future, what I did in the past, what I did in secret, what I did it in open, what I did it in public. Okay? And وَمَا أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي. Again, there is still other sins that I'm not aware about it, that I forgot about it. Okay? I didn't pay attention to it, but you, Allah, will aware about it, because you are the seer. You as Sami', you are al-Basir. So please, oh Allah, forgive for me all my sins. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. You are the advancer, you are the delayer, and you are able to do all things. أمنت بالله. Hadith once, the hadith is authentic, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. Next hadith 1356. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم انفعني بما علمتني وعلمني ما ينفعني وارزقني علما ينفعني. My problem is that I'm rushing before the tape finish, because this is the last tab in the book and the album. Hadith 1355, the hadith is authentic and reported by Abu Huraira in the collection of Imam Muslim. Allahumma aslih li deen alladhi huwa ismatu amri. Oh Allah, subhanallah, you see, oh Allah, improve and fix my religion to me, which is the isma of all my affairs. That mean without my deen, I'll be going crazy, walking in darknesses. So by protecting my deen, this deen is the most important element of making of my affairs good. You see? So the deen, if you don't have the deen, it can go straight. You can have the money and the money will cause you to go straight. You have the position and the position can make you go straight. So you asking Allah the protection and the strength of your deen. Oh Allah, set right for me my religion, which is the safeguard of my affairs. You see, if you don't have the deen, your affairs is not going to be good. So if Allah help you with your deen, now you have guidance which way to go. And this will be the safeguarding of all your affairs. وَأَصْلِحْ لِدُنْيَايَ الَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَاشِ. Again, Islam didn't come only to get the reward of the hereafter, but Islam came also for what? For the dunya and for the akhirah. So is nothing wrong that you beg Allah to fix your worldly affair. وَأَصْلِحْ لِآخِرَةِ الَّتِي إِلَيْهَا مَعَادِي. Again, something very important. We are not living only for this dunya, but O Allah, set my affair of the hereafter, which is the appointment and the meeting. The akhirah, this our appointment. This is our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what else? وَجْعَلِ الْحَيَاةِ زِيَادَةً لِي فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. Not we living in the dunya because the love is the dunya, but O Allah, as long you keep me alive in this dunya, make my living for increasing of my good deed. So our being alive in this dunya, not for the dunya itself, but because we want to be alive to increase our deed. You see? To increase our good deed, which will be our profit in the hereafter. وَاجْعَلِ الْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ. So now, if nothing good in the dunya, oh Allah, I don't want to be alive. If nothing good in this life to advance me to the akhirah, oh Allah, please take my soul. Because if I be alive, will be a temptation for me, will be danger for me. Okay? وَجْعَلِ الْمَوْتَ. May the death arrest for me from every evil. So whenever the life is not bringing us closer to Allah, grave will be better and safe for us. We understand this? So this life is preparation for the hereafter. And if we're going to be living in this life without extending good deed to bring us closer to Allah, so the grave will be much better for us of remaining in this life. Next hadith, 1356. How many minutes, Habib? 1356. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم انفعني بما علمتني وعلمني ما ينفعني وارزقني علما ينفعني به. The hadith is Hassan. And the next hadith, which hadith 1357 reported by Aisha, and the hadith also in the collection of Ibn Majah, the hadith is authentic. Last hadith in the book 1358 and in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. The hadith is authentic. And by Allah's will and Allah's leave, today is the night of Friday, the 15th of Ramadan, which is December 23 for the year 1999. We finished, by the will of Allah, the book of Bulugh al-Maram, which contain of 1,358 hadith. Alhamdulillah, by the tawfiq of Allah and the grace of Allah, I'm grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to finish this book. I beg Allah forgiveness for any mistakes that I made while I was teaching this book. If anything wrong that I taught during these classes is from myself and the shaitan, and Allah and His messenger is free from it. If anything good, it is from Allah by His tawfiq. Last hadith that we mentioned is authentic, and these two phrases is beloved by Allah. The more you said it, the more that Allah loves you. And these two words is so easy to utter with your tongue, but the heavy in the scale. You get a lot of blessings. A lot of blessings. By saying what? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Two phrases are dearer to the most compassionate, the most merciful Allah, and so easy to utter by the tongue, and the heavy in the scale, you get a lot of reward for it. Saying what? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah.